Blog Talk Radio.
Football fans, thanks for tuning in to another edition of the Neek and Rude Pro Football Talk Show. I am your host, Neek, in studio with my good friend. I've been on for, let's see, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 30, no, actually 35 years. What's going on, Rude?
Hey, man, it's all good. You know, just training camp starting up. Fans, I hope you're ready for this football because it's all up on you now. It's time for the season. Ladies, I suggest that, well, I can't say that. That's a little sexist. I would say wives, football addicts like myself, it is time for you to get out the hobbies and understand that your man is going to be tuned in on Saturdays and Sundays, specifically Sundays and Mondays, sometimes Thursday nights, to watch some NFL football at a bar or a big screen, flat screen near you.
And fellas, make sure you take care of all the chores in the house. Make sure you take care of your woman in the bedroom. And make sure, if you are financially stable, take care of your woman and take her shopping. Because you know the ladies and you know your woman, your wife, and also your mother or your auntie or whoever is in that house. You got to understand that they will put up with Sunday being your day. They maybe put up a little bit of Saturday being your day because it's college football. But sometimes them women ain't going to put up with 3 days of football in a row. So, therefore, make sure you take care of home and make sure you keep your home happy as well.
Yeah, that's a PSA right there. So, you know, yeah, fellas, I hope you guys got the shopping, the vacationing out the way in the off season because, look, it's time for business now. We in training camp. You know, we want to see what's going on around the league. You know, me and Nick know, so we're going to drop that on your head today. We actually have a special show for you. It's the NFL prediction show. So, you know, over the last few shows, we've kind of been breaking down, you know, what went on last year, what teams did to address their concerns. You know, go check those out. Now we're going to start looking forward to this next year. So, again, we'll have some bold predictions for you for every team in the show. But first, let's start off with the NFL news. Nick, you know, we did mention that training camp starting up. So, you know, one thing about training camp is, you know, unfortunately, you will have injuries. We're not going to touch on that a whole bunch today. Fortunately, there hasn't been a lot of, you know, publicized injuries yet. You know, a lot of times guys will have season-ending injuries in training camp as, you know, they're kind of getting back to the routine. They're getting back, you know, with the team and going full go. So, you know, unfortunately, that does happen. But another thing that happens, it's happened even more this year, is holdouts. One of the reasons that, you know, this is happening a lot this year is because you have some exceptional skill position players, specifically like running backs, that they know they have a short shelf life, and, you know, they are outplaying their rookie contracts. So, you know, generally first-round pick, you'll get the four-year contract with the fifth-year option. A guy like Ezekiel Elliott is obviously outplaying that. So he's holding out, and he wants more money. So Thursday he wasn't on the team plane as the Cowboys flew to Oxnard, California, where they have training camp. Friday, today, he was a no-show training camp. Michael Thomas kind of in the same situation with the Saints, but he's working on his deal. So, you know, I know that there's been some progress made with Michael Thomas, you know, contract negotiations. Michael Thomas actually in his first three seasons in the NFL actually has set a record for the most receptions ever in his first three seasons in the NFL. Melvin Gordon is basically in the same boat as Ezekiel Elliott. To me, Melvin Gordon is a top five running back, if not top 10 for sure. And, you know, he wants his bag. He's out playing his rookie contract. And he's trying to play a game of chicken, too. So he knows that running backs, you know, it's really hard for a running back, almost an impossibility for the running back to make it to that third contract. So he wants to accelerate his getting paid on his second contract, or, you know, at least get some kind of extension and pay increase on his rookie contract. And the Chargers, L.A. Chargers, said they are not budging. Again, Melvin Gordon trying to play some chicken. He's had some injury concerns, you know, but he wants his money. I can't be mad at him. So you talk about three guys there that are three of the faces of the league, top five in their position for sure, all three of them, between Zeke, Melvin Gordon at the running back spot, knowing that they got to get the money while they can before they get banged out, you know. And then Michael Thomas, at receiver for the Saints. He wants that bag. The other guy who wants the bag is Jalen Ramsey. So much so that, I mean, I don't know what he was trying to do here with showing up with the Brinks truck. I think he was basically saying that, like, you know, I need the money. I want my monies. Do you remember the movie How High? You remember, I can't remember the cast from Dayton. I can't remember his name, but he had the front, the you know, the teeth in. I need money. I think that's what Jalen Ramsey was saying with that Brinks truck is. He's saying, hey, I need that too. So he showed up to camp that way. AB, who is not actually active for the Raiders in training camp, but he showed up to Raiders training camp in a hot air balloon. So the antics of AB won't stop, even though he's left Pittsburgh. I think that now he's in a position where I think he thinks people are amused by his antics, so he's going to continue those. A few more things to mention in the news in NFL before we get right down to business. Again, we're giving you these predictions that are hot fire. The Cowboys released Allen Hurns, but Allen Hurns wasn't saying, I ain't got no worries, because he did go ahead and sign with his hometown, Miami Dolphins. I think that was today, even. So Allen Hurns gets signed by the Dolphins, and they could use the help at receiver. So yeah, it seemed like a pretty good fit there for him. The Redskins released their leading tackler in the past week as linebacker Mason Foster. So I think Mason Foster's still available at this time, so we'll see where he ends up. Also, the Packers released their former Pro Bowl defensive lineman Mike Daniels, and today he signed with the Detroit Lions. That could be an excellent pickup for the Lions, signing a former Pro Bowler, especially a guy who was, you know, playing in that same division. So, you know, taking, you know, a talented player away from a division rival and then strengthening your own team. A few more things to mention real quick. Mark Sanchez retired. Not too much more to say about that. He will be an ESPN, I believe, college football personality. Sanchez, I guess I will mention that. He did start off his career great, went to those two AFC championship games under Rex Ryan. But after that, you know, I think the career was highlighted by butt fumble and backing up. So back up and butt fumble. That's two of the things that Sanchez, that used to be his nickname, right? So, you know, it's my how the tables turn, my how the mighty have fallen. You know, great promising career to start off with, but now he retires after 10 years in the NFL. So that's a good run. We don't want to take anything away from Sanchez, especially what he did early in his career. The Patriots signed tight end Lance Kendricks. Sneaky good move here. Patriots do this every year. It's like Jordan trade last year. They're just, you know, kind of loading up. Not that Kendricks has the talent of Gordon, but it'd probably be available a little bit more than he will. But the Patriots, you know, they do like to use multiple tight end looks. Obviously, with Gronk retiring, Benjamin Watson out for a few games to start the year, that could be big. One thing I didn't write down, but I did want to mention as well, is that the Titans, Taylor Lewan, is facing that 4-game suspension, you know, due to PED use. Another one Nick, I didn't mention before the show was Ziggy Hood. Ziggy Hood, the ex-Steeler, who was actually a little too busty. Now, he got signed by the Saints, so we'll see if he can kind of reinvigorate his career and help the Saints out a little bit. I got a prediction for the Saints later that Saints fans probably not going to love me on that one, but it's okay. I still want some beignets, still want to hang out down there. The Giants, man, your Giants had kind of a rough day today, Nick. You know, they did have two guys down. One guy, Corey Coleman, the former Brown, who was a little too overrated. Being a first-round draft pick, I believe he was 19th overall. I have to say, man, Corey Coleman's out for the year with a torn ACL. He had 5 catches last year for the Giants after being cut twice by the Patriots and the Browns. probably time to kiss this man goodbye to his career. But, you know, I see him trying to come back. But he did tear his ACL today. So definitely sad to hear about that. You know, definitely wish him much success if he does choose to come back or whatever endeavors he pursues in his life. Also, wide receiver Sterling Shepard actually broke or fractured his thumb. But he was actually at training camp today, Neat. So I'm gonna turn it over to you and kind of, you know, let people know what's going on with the Giants and what they might do here to kind of replace that production of the five catches by Corey Coleman.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll let you get your excuse me. I'll let you get your little I guess you want to call it rocks off about Corey Coleman. But anyway, we're spending too much time talking about Corey Coleman. Corey Coleman did resurrect his career as a kick returner, led the league kick returns last year, yard average. I mean, he did his thing for the kick return. But as far as receiver, didn't contribute much, had a couple nice little catches in a couple games, but he's done for the year. So I'm not too much worried about this. Sterling Shepard is projected to be back for week one game against the Cowboys. He didn't tear the whole thumb up. It was just the top of it. So I'm not too worried about that. Just a little boo-boo. He'll go ahead, put a little splint on there and get it together. Far as the receiving depth, I mean, there's a bunch of no-names. I mean, we have Darius Slayton, who actually balled out. I mean, if you want to call it balled out, minicamp actually looked very well during minicamp in shorts. He does have the speed to stretch the defense, so he can actually step in there for Corey Coleman role, actually can step in as that slot wide receiver for us. And then you have Alonzo Russell, who's been looking very well as well. But, you know, everything remains to be seen because when the pads go on, we've got about another week and a half to determine how this group is going to look. So, you know, everything remains to be seen. I know they're supposed to be bringing in Kelvin Benjamin tomorrow to work out. Big question is that is what Kelvin Benjamin going to get? You going to get Dunkin' Donut Kelvin Benjamin, who's probably going to show up about 10 pounds overweight tomorrow, maybe 15 pounds. So I don't know, man.
He's gonna get fat,
Kelvin. Yeah, I mean, Kelvin Benjamin, he's got the size, got the height.
75 Kelvin.
Eli Manning loves those big, tall receivers. Hasn't had one of those in a while since Plaxico Burress days. So, Kelvin Benjamin, this is your last shot. Hopefully, you stayed in shape during this whole offseason. Because if so, your old former GM in Carolina who drafted you has a lot of familiarity with you. So, he could bring you in and actually sign you if your ass is in shape. With that being said, Root, are you ready to get into these bold predictions, man?
Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's do it, man. Let's do it. Let's start off with the AFC East, like we always do around this time, Neat. Hey, the AFC East, man, you know, might as well call this the AFC Patriots, right? This division's pretty much always won by the Patriots. I mean, they always seem to handily, you know, win this division. I mean, the Patriots, if nothing else, man, they do know how to win. You know, but as far as some predictions for next year, I wish I could say for my Buffalo Bills fans and family that I have positive production predictions for the Buffalo Bills. But I think it's going to be kind of a hard knock year for the Bills. I mean, to me, they have some talent, but Josh Allen is actually one of those guys. Josh Allen had, to me, I'm going to say this, I think he had an impressive rookie year because a lot of talent around him. And I think his improvisation skills and running ability are a lot better than what I expected it to be in the NFL. You know, we already know he's got a big arm, and he kind of showed that off last year. But I think even if Josh Allen starts 16 games, you know, even 14 games would be doing great. Yeah, missed a couple or whatnot. But I think that Josh Allen will not throw for 2,500 yards this year. He did throw for 2,074 yards, 10 touchdowns, and 12 interceptions this year, last year. So maybe he has a better touchdown-to-interception ratio next year, but under 2,500 yards passing for a starting quarterback in the NFL, that's well under 200 yards a game. You know, I think I see kind of, you know, similar things from Josh Allen. So still, you know, the question is really if he can be an efficient NFL pocket passer. That question I do not think will be answered this year. Don't see big totals from him in the pass game. Even though, you know, the Bills did do a couple things, via free agency to kind of bolster that receiving core. Didn't they get Beasley? Yeah, they got Cole Beasley to help out in the slot. So, you know, slot receiver is one of the positions, kind of like a quarterback's best friend. but still not enough. So I think it's going to be kind of a struggle there passing wise, at least for the Bills this season. You know, when we go to Miami for the Dolphins, another team I feel, you know, Dolphins, man, they were game last year. Obviously, Adam Gase, he switched zip codes in this division. He went from Miami to the Jets. But, you know, another guy who kind of switched his mailing address, went to the Postal Service to switch a forwarding address, was Josh Rosen, you know, leaving the desert, going to somewhere else nice and hot. Josh Rosen, a lot of people felt bad for him because he kind of got, you know, booted from, you know, Arizona, traded over to the Dolphins. But I'm being honest with you, I don't feel bad for Josh Rosen, man. I mean, he's coming from kind of a privileged background, and he went from Arizona, a nice warm city, to Miami, nice warm city. So he's still getting paid. But I think that Josh Rosen is going to start at least 9 games for the Dolphins. We know that his competition really is Ryan Fitzpatrick. Ryan Fitzpatrick quite possibly will start the first few games for the Dolphins. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, for the majority of the season, this is Rosen's job to lose. So, you know, I think that Nick mentioned that, you know, he likes Flores coming from New England as a coordinator who will be the new head coach to replace Adam Gase. Like I said, Gase, even with Tannehill, who was off injured, had this team very competitive. I do think that Rosen will actually find a home there. And he will eventually be their franchise QB that they're looking for. And he'll start the majority of the games for the Dolphins this year. So that'd be my prediction for the Dolphins, is that Rosen will be their QB moving forward after this year.
All right. Not bad, Root. Not bad. All right. Let's go to these New England Patriots, because they are the Super Bowl champs. And Tom Brady's about to be 42 years old, but that doesn't matter, because Tom Brady is still the best QB in the game. And my prediction for these New England Patriots, 2019 Patriots, that Tom Brady will throw for over 5,100 passing yards, 41 touchdowns, and 12 interceptions. And I know a lot of people sitting here saying, listening right now, what? You're talking about a 42-year-old quarterback throwing for 5,000 yards? Yes, I did say that. I mean, they do have Harry, who they drafted out of Arizona State. I think he's going to do his thing. I know at the tight end position, they do have Ben Watson that they brought in. Rudy talked about Kendricks. And you never know. Gronk might come back week 5, week 6. Gronk might just get tired of partying and be like, you know what? I need to party on the field, man. You know, I'd have had enough hookers and women and all this Gronk stuff, fight. You know. So, you know, plus he probably misses doing a grunt spike in the end zone against opposing defenders, and probably tired of doing that in the backyard around his friends, their beer drinking games and this and that. But anyway, yeah, I say Brady throws over 5,100 passing yards. Let's go with the running backs, James White, Sony Michel. I say both of them combined for 15 total touchdowns on the season last year. I know they both combined for 11 touchdowns. All right, New York Jets. Let's go with Le'Veon Bell. My bold prediction is Le'Veon Bell. I know he set out last season, but this season he's refreshed. He's hungry. Jets offensive line isn't that bad. Pretty decent in run blocking. He will have 1,327 rush yards, 10 touchdowns, and will also contribute catching the ball out the backfield, 65 catches, 689 receiving yards, 3 touchdowns, and that will bring his total to 13 total touchdowns on the season, and that is the AFC East. All right, let's move to the AFC North. I got this one. I'm going to start off this division. Let's go with the Cincinnati Bengals. I know Andy Dalton, the quarterback, hasn't thrown for over 4,200 yards since 2013, 2016 as well. 2013 had 4,293 pass yards and 33 touchdowns. 2016, 4,206 yards and 18 touchdowns. I'm going to say this year he's going to double that, the touchdowns, and he will actually throw for 4,364 passing yards with 34 touchdowns, 16 interceptions. Long as this Bengals offense can stay healthy, Dalton can stay healthy, Green can stay healthy, Ross can stay healthy, this offense is very explosive. And the Pittsburgh Steelers, man, this is one of the biggest bold predictions ever. I'm going with Vance McDonald, the tight end. Last season only caught 50 catches for 610 yards. This season, he will have 76 catches for over 1,000 receiving yards and 9 touchdowns. That sounds like fantasy numbers. Yes, I'm telling you right now. And the only reason why I'm going on the limb with this is because Big Ben has those other receivers, but he doesn't have Antonio Brown. Juju has to prove that he's the number one wide receiver. So with that being said, if Juju's not getting open and the other guys, no-name guys, not getting open, I'm telling you right now, Big Ben is going to Vance. He's going to Vance quite a bit.
Vance McDonald, honey. Vance McDonald.
There's no Jesse James.
Vance McDonald.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Jesse James or the James gang. Vance McDonald. Nick, Vance McDonald. All right, all right. Well, moving on, let's talk about the Browns and the fake Browns. Let's talk about the Browns and the imitation Browns. All right, so the Ravens would be the imitation Browns. All right, they have a prolific running game, let's be honest. So the Ravens are going to actually lead the league in rushing, which is not really shocking considering they were second in the league last year behind the Seattle Seahawks. So they're going to lead the league in rushing. We know that Lamar Jackson can do, you know, at the quarterback position. And he's the leader of the ship. This is his team now. Joe Flacco went elsewhere. He's Broncos starting QB now. And, you know, this team is built around that running game. They brought in Mark Ingram. I predict that they will lead the league in rushing. But with that, all those carries, they will also lead the league in fumbles. Lamar Jackson showed the ability to put the ball on the turf last year when he runs sometimes. So last year they led the league with 16 fumbles, and this year they'll do it again. So that's it. That's all I've got for the Ravens, that they'll run a lot and they'll fumble a lot. Are they the Ravens or are they the fake Browns? Let's go to the real Browns. All right, so the hype around the Browns is outstanding this year. I mean, I don't know if I like it, love it, or hate it right now. Because I like coming in the radar. I'm kind of a low-key guy. I like being considered an underdog. And for a team to have a year basically where they went 500 after not winning a game, and people are saying that they're going to the Super Bowl, those people are idiots, okay? I mean, there's a lot of great teams in the NFL right now, and I'm not going to say that this 500 team is about to go to the Super Bowl. But what I will say is that their defense was 30th overall last year. 30th. Nick, is that good? That's terrible. Is that good? No, it's terrible. Terrible. So the defense was 30th overall, giving over 23 yards a game. But this year, I could run through that defense. I want to go on a Browns rant real quick. Our producer saying I do not have enough time. But the defense was bad last year, but they had a lot of talent like Marius Randle. All those guys were there last year. But with the addition of Playmate, Batman, who's Robin Miles, and Olivier Vernon, the Giants, nice enough to donate to. We got Olivier Vernon at side, Greedy Williams, the draft, to fill in some of those holes that the Browns did have. Also draft a couple of linebackers. I think it's a 30th overall to a 10th overall defense. So I'm looking forward to that. A couple of predictions for the Browns. These aren't that bold. Njoku was one of the best in the league last year. He had the 60 catch. Here, it'd be understandable OBJ coming in if you expect it to be in his production, even though it doesn't mean he's effective. I think that he'll still have at least 55 receptions. So that's saying something. Now, actually ran for 1,000 yards last year, whether people know it or not. He actually ran for 1,000. He lost 4 yards on a carry, and he ended up with 996. Nick Chubb, even with Duke Johnson still being there, even though maybe Julio will have an increase in his work, Nick will still for 1,000 yards. It's the AFC, and we're going to keep it moving.
All right, South, man. I like this. Pretty good job. I'm telling you right now, fans, 13-3. Yeah, I said it, 13-3. Andrew Luck, he gotta be lucky because he has some new toys. And on this season, this upcoming season, he's gonna throw for 5,237 yards and 49 touchdowns. I know that sounds like some Patrick Mahomes number from last year. It is very damn close, but Luck will do that this year. This coach team is loaded. He has the best offensive line pretty much in the league right now. I mean, they kept him upright all season. I mean, he is so happy right now. Shoulders back, shoulders healthy. I mean, if you look at the weapons he has, Paris Campbell, the rookie who they drafted, he's going to contribute with 7 touchdowns just all around. Chester, my boy Chester Rogers, he had 53 catches last year. He's going to contribute. You already know you got T.Y. Hilton, Zach Pascal, Eric Ebron, Jack Doyle. Woo! This Colts team is loaded on offense side of the ball, and I ain't even talking about the defense side of the ball, but the Colts will go 13-3. All right, Tennessee Titans, Marcus Mariota, he will go down this season as a bust. He will never be a starter in the NFL ever again after this season.
Ever
again, because he just can't stay healthy, and you just can't trust a guy by the name of Marcus Mariota. So, with that being said, Ryan Tannehill is a better pocket passer. He will take over in the middle of the season. And my boy Cameron Wake, I know he's saying he's like 36, 37. Yeah, but the boy can still rush that quarterback. He will have 12 sacks on the year. He has 6 sacks on the season last year. And that is my two teams for the AFC South. What you got, Root?
Nick, I want to ask you a quick question, man. I know that I got to ask you this quick question. Marcus Mariota kind of maybe, you know, his career going in the wrong trajectory. Do you think that's going to affect Tua Tagovailoa's, NFL prospects at all?
Nah, man. Nah, because I'm telling you, man.
Hawaiian.
I mean, nah, come on, man. Why you got to throw Hawaii on there, man? You too racist, man. You got people right now pulling over like, bullet for that, Rudy. Yeah, that's pretty much going to happen. All right, move on, man. Come on, finish up this division.
All right, you know it. Love the Hawaiians, man. But, hey, the Texans. Texans with Deshaun Watson, man. You know, this team was led by J.J. Watt a few years ago, Jadeveon Clowney. Bold predictions for this team. Jadeveon Clowney won't play 8 games. So he has yet to sign his franchise tender. He's not happy. He wanted long-term money. You know why? Because he wanted to coast, man. I could tell Jadeveon Clowney's one of them cats, man. You know what I'm saying? He loves what the game could do for him. But do he want to give it his all and get, 15-plus sacks in a year? I don't know, man. I don't really know. But Jadeveon Clowney, I know that under that franchise tag, he going to do the least amount to get paid. So, like I said, I see him playing 8 games or less for the Texans or under 8 games. Deshaun Watson, look for him to be in the discussion for the league MVP up until late this year. Not saying that he's going to be the MVP. I'm just saying he's going to be one of the 3 or 4 guys that you look at like this team will be nothing without him. So Deshaun Watson is an excellent player, man. Going back to his days of Clemson, I was watching some film against him in Alabama just last night. Man, that boy is a stud, and he's going to continue to do his thing, hooking up with DeAndre Hopkins, and this team is a force to reckon with, man, as long as they got Watson at the helm. Another team that I think is an enigma wrapped inside a riddle is the Jacksonville Jaguars. So we touched on it at the beginning of the show. You know, kind of how Jalen Ramsey feels about Jacksonville right now. Leonard Fournette, obviously, another guy who, we just kind of waiting to see exactly who he is in terms of, where he ranks in NFL as far as the best in his position. But those guys need to prove it. But to me, a guy who, like, if you want to look at somebody who coming into the draft, I said, hey, it's going to be the man. Nick could probably attest to this. Nick Foles is always my guy coming out of Arizona. He went in the 3rd round, but I thought he was a 1st round talent. Nick Foles is 6'5 and a former Super Bowl MVP. He's going to start at least 15 games. He's no Blake Bortles, folks. This guy can step up and tough. So he's going to start at least 15 games for the Jaguars. And I don't think he's had a full season of production probably since he started for the Eagles, either his rookie or second year. And I think he's going to throw for at least 25 touchdowns for the Jaguars this year. So their fortunes may turn around. I don't know if I could say that this team's going to make the playoffs, but I'll say they got a decent chance, especially with Foles putting up that kind of production and basically starting every game for him and just being their franchise guy. I'm going to go ahead and keep holding the mic here, and we'll move on to the AFC West. Finish up the AFC here real quick for you. Then we're going to run through the NFC. The Denver Broncos starting off with the AFC West. One of the big things they did was they did acquire Joe Flacco and shipped out Case Keenum. At this point, I think maybe they swapped the backup for a backup. Flacco's had, I thought an outstanding career for the Ravens, but I know Nick was never really sold on him. His nickname for him is Captain Checkdown. I always felt that Flacco had a big arm. But I think that at this point, that big arm is not going to serve him well in Denver. And the Mile High, I think that Flacco is going to throw for more than 15 picks this year, and he's not going to game. Don't forget that the team also did draft the second round rookie quarterback Drew Locke, who I think will be his eventual replacement, and that Flacco said he does not want to mentor, but Flacco, you might not have no damn choice in the matter. The Kansas City Chiefs actually will not win this division. I'm not going to do any predictions for anybody outside of the Chiefs and the Broncos. So the Kansas City Chiefs were one of the, I'd say, best teams, top three teams in the league last year, but they don't win their division this year. They had some stiff competition from the LA Chargers last year. Same thing. Chargers win this division. Mahomes threw for 50 touchdowns last year. Impressive, young Patty. He's going to have another great year, but I estimate his touchdown total to be around 38, which is still great.
All right, you said Mahomes 38. Actually, yeah, that's not bad. But Andrew Luck is going to beat him, outscore him by 11 touchdowns. I'm telling you right now, Andrew Luck is going to be the MVP of the 2019 NFL season. All right, let me finish off this AFC West division. You know I got to talk about my Oakland Raiders, the Hard Knock Raiders. I'm so excited for this team right now. Rude, don't cut me off. Don't interrupt me, man. I'm talking about my Raiders, man. Come on now. Raiders, I'm telling you right now. Derek Carr is about to almost hit 5,000 passing yards. I almost want to say, but I was like, nah, I just can't do that right now. But he will throw for 4,877 yards, 37 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. Last season, he threw for 4,049 yards, 19 touchdowns, 10 picks. But when you have Antonio Brown and you have Tyrell Williams and you have Ryan Grant and you have Hunter Renfrow and you have Darren Waller, you have some options at the receiving position. You have one of the best wide receiving games. That's why Derek Carr is going to put up some monster stats. Gerrion Conley last season was one of the top corners, young corners in the game. I'm telling you, this kid right here had three picks last year. He's going to have five picks this year, going to lead the interception and pass deflection. He's going to be making it to his first Pro Bowl. People are going to talk about, man, that Conley kid ain't no joke, because when he lined up against opposing teams' number one receiver, he had him on shot. He did his thing against them. And then the Raiders defense last season, man, they had 13 sacks as a team. 13 sacks, man. There's so many damn players in the NFL who had more than 13 sacks by themselves. Our defense allowed 13 sacks as a unit, man. That is so damn embarrassing. But with that being said, we got some new young blood coming in. Yeah, we got some kiddies. But they're going to grow up real fast. I'm talking about Farrell and Crosby and all them. And this Raiders defense is going to have 39 sacks on the season. Yes, I said it. They tripled that, because 13 times 3 is 39. Yes, I can multiply. All right, let's move on to these Chargers. Boza Ingram last year, one of the best pass rushing tandems in the league. They had 12 sacks. I know, that's a little disappointing, because Boza did miss a few games. But this upcoming 2019 season on this Chargers defense that is loaded, Boza and Ingram will have 27 sacks. And, Rude, let me go to the NFCS, man. I got the NFCS, because if I get to talk about my Raiders, I'm going to talk about my Giants as well. Yeah, I'm a Giants and Raiders fan. Giants number one, Raiders number two. And the Giants this upcoming season, everybody say we're going to be one of the worst teams in the NFC. I'm going to tell you right now, that sounds like that is going to be right. But not in these eyes, because this is so unpredictable for my Giants this upcoming season, because I think they're going to be bad. But some reason, I think they're going to go 9-7 and shock some people. Eli, I still believe in you, and I think Eli is actually going to have a pretty good season. But Jabril Peppers will be the MVP of this team. He's going to make it to his first Pro Bowl. He's going to contribute with 107 tackles, 3 sacks, and 5 interceptions, and 3 TDs. And my boy Evan Ingram, Eazy-E, all you got to do is just stay healthy, man. And if he stays healthy, he's going to have 84 catches, over 1,000 yards, and 8 touchdowns, because last year he only had 45 catches, 577 yards. Fly, Eagles, fly, Eagles. I can't believe I'm talking about these damn Eagles. I hate them. I hate them so much, but I got to respect them. This is one of the best teams in the NFL. Jordan Howard had almost 1,000 yards last season. This season he will have 1,137 yards, 11 touchdowns. And Zach Brown, one of the best linebackers in the game. This man says, I'm tired of this. I'm tired. Every year I have over 100 tackles, but nobody won't give me no long-term deal. This upcoming season, he will have 127 tackles, 2 interceptions, and 2 sacks. With that being said, Root, here you go.
Nigga, how you get the 2 best teams in the division? Hold on, what's up with that, man?
2 best teams? So you say my Giants are 2 best teams?
I'm just playing, man. man. I just wanted to tease you real quick. But speaking of probably who's going to run away with this division, we never know, though. But the Cowboys, Dak Prescott, he threw for 22 touchdowns last year. This year, don't expect more than 20, Cowboys fans. I got him right at 20 touchdowns passing this year. Moving right along, the Washington Redskins, Dwayne Haskins, I expect for him to throw 15 touchdowns this year. Well, that's good news for you Redskins fans, because that means that you have your future franchise quarterback starting at least half the games for you guys. I don't know which backup you prefer to start the rest of them, Colt McCoy or Case Keenum, but I don't know. Either way, it equals loss. Moving right along to the NFC North, the Chicago Bears, Khalil Mack was a force that the Oakland Raiders, I'm going to start calling stupid trades donations. So the Raiders donated Khalil Mack to the Chicago Bears last year, even though the Raiders did get a big haul for him draft-wise. We'll see what those draft picks do, but Khalil Mack's going to have over 17 sacks this year, and he is going to be a devastator and a destroyer and a conqueror of opposing NFC and AFC teams' backfields. And with this 17-plus sacks, Green Bay Packers, they didn't make the playoffs last year. They went 6-9-1, which count carried a 1, doing the math, 6-9-1 is under 500. This team's going to win at least 10 games. This is a tough division, but they're going to make the playoffs as well. So fear not, Packers fans, Aaron Rodgers fans, the Pack is back in Lambeau.
All right, Pack is back in Lambeau. I kind of like that because I think I agree with you too, Rue. Pack is going to be back this year. All right. Detroit Lions. Let me tell you like this. I'm not going to be lying today because I think these Lions are going to go 9-7. This defensive line last year, they had a couple players came out of nowhere. My boy Romeo Okwara, that's what I like to call him, came from the New York Giants. New York Giants cast off, had 7.5 sacks last season, and the Lions signed Mike Daniels today, Pro Bowler. This defensive line is loaded. I think this defensive line as a unit is going to have 52 sacks. I ain't going to lie, I did say that. This defense line is going to ball out. And that's pretty much it for the Lions. 9-7, 52 sacks. There you go. All right, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Master P, little nephew, Jameis Winston. Always smiles like Master P. Look like a baby Master P. That's what I said about your career. Your career is,
crab legs.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, Jameis Winston, you ain't got nowhere to hide and nowhere to go except for up, because the new sheriff in town, Bruce Arians, he don't play that. And if he can't get you right, you're done, man. I'm sorry. Your NFL career is done. Jameis Winston actually going to ball out this year. 4,600 pass yards, 31 touchdowns, 17 interceptions. And these Bucks are actually going to surprise some people because they're going to play tough. They're going to play hard. They're going to go 8-8 on the season. All right. I'm up here talking about this division. Oh no, I forgot about the Vikings. Let me go back to NFC North. All right, Minnesota Vikings, this team will make the playoffs this year. Last season was a disappointment. I just couldn't believe it when they went 8-7. I was just like 8-7-1. That's crazy. But this team actually will make the playoffs this year. Everson Griffin is gonna ball this year. I know last year he only played 11 games. Only had 5.5 sacks. This season, he's going to have 14 sacks. Yes, I said it. And let me finish up this NFC South. Sorry about that, NFC North fans. I know you guys are like, man, what about my Vikings? I know, I just touched on them. All right, Carolina Panthers. Gerald McCoy, one of their biggest additions this offseason. I'm telling you right now, McCoy wants to play with these Panthers because he wants to get revenge against his Tampa Bay Buccaneers who cut him loose. But Gerald McCoy will have 10 sacks. Dante Jackson, one of the best young corners in the game, had 4 interceptions last year. He will up the notch by 2 and have 6 picks on this season. And now, Root, let's finish off this show with the NFC West.
Well, I haven't talked about the NFC South just quite yet. It's all good. I'm going to run through it real quick. It's not too much going on, man. It's kind of business as usual, man. Julio Jones is my man. I ain't going to lie, man. To me, he might be the best receiver in the league. I know you got Michael Thomas competing, AB, Jarvis Landry, guys like Jarvis Landry. Yeah, Jarvis Landry too, but OBJ, guys like that. But Julio Jones had 113 catches last year. But for whatever reason, man, I think some fantasy owners probably get a little frustrated. He had 8 touchdowns on them 113 catches. But this year, he's going to have 100 receptions again, and he will also have 10-plus touchdowns along with it. So double-digit touchdowns. I do recommend drafting him in the first round of your fantasy. draft. But the Saints have another group of receivers, kind of a guy I just mentioned. We mentioned earlier in the show, you know, contract. But he's going to play, man. He's a young stud. He's the best receiver ever out of Ohio State. I'm going out on a limb if somebody thinks it's that, to say that he is the best receiver out of Ohio State ever. But who's his competition? I mean, Terry Glenn, Joey Galloway. He's going to have 100 receptions, you know, this season. Which he's done pretty much every year that he's been in the league so far. But Alvin Kamara, his Robin to his Batman, actually, as a running back, is excellent. He's going to have 80 receptions, which he did last year as well. But the prediction that I think might have Saints fans a little salty is that, you know, before Mardi Gras, the Saints are going to lose in the NFC Championship again this year. And don't forget, they can replay pass interference.
You silly, man. All right, NFC West, wrap up the show. We got less than 5 minutes. San Francisco 49ers, I'm telling you right now, they're just bringing in Tevin Coleman and Jerry McKinnis coming back, missed last year with that nasty injury, and Matt Breida still there. So they have three beasts at the running back position. I'm telling you right now, this running back stable will have over 2,100 rush yards on the season and a total of 11 total touchdowns. And the 49ers will actually be relevant this year. They will compete hard, will not make the playoffs, but they will have an 8-8 record on the season. All right, Seattle Seahawks, David Moore last year, 26 catches, 445 yards. I know some people saying like, that ain't shit. Yeah, I know. But this season, Seahawks receiver corps is kind of revamped due to Doug Baldwin retiring. David Moore is going to have 57 catches, 801 receiving yards, and 7 touchdowns. DK Metcalf, the rookie who they drafted, is actually going to contribute with 53 catches, 79 receiving yards, 6 touchdowns. And then Iggy Ansah. I know Jerron Reed is going to be out those first 6 games. I'm telling you, Iggy is going to do his thing this year. He's going to have 9 sacks. Look for my boy resurrected. Well, I ain't going to say resurrected career, but he's going to bounce back this year and stay healthy and contribute with 9 sacks.
I'll tell you what, man. We both like DK Metcalf. And, man, I'm going to tell you what, man, that dude is diesel, man. I tell you what, even if he doesn't have those, 55, 60 catches you talking about, put that dude on the cover of Men's Health. He's diesel, man. But, hey, I'll tell you what, DK Metcalf was one guy that I loved coming into the draft process. Another guy I love was Akeem Butler. Akeem Butler, man, out of Iowa State, he's got that NFL big body, man. I mean, we were talking about, like, you know, we were talking about, you throwing me off. We were talking about, what's the name earlier in the show? We were talking about Kelvin Benjamin, right? You know, this guy is similar mold, you know what I mean? Like, just a big body receiver. Akeem Butler fits in that same mold. Akeem Butler is going to have at least 7 touchdowns. You know who's going to be getting them from? Probably the offensive rookie of the year and Kyler Murray. Now, Kyler Murray's repping for all those guys under 6 foot out there like myself. You know, so Kyler Murray, like I said, got a great chance of being the rookie of the year. You know, he's going to play an offense that's kind of catered to him under Cliff Kingsbury. You know, I was thinking earlier, Nick, whatever happened to that run and shoot? But I think this offense that Kingsbury is bringing to the table is kind of similar to that run and shoot, right?
Yes, it is. And we have some breaking news. My boy Bobby Wagner got paid. Yes, got paid. He agreed to a 3-year, $54 million extension at $18 million per year. Bobby Wagner, best middle linebacker in the game.
Since you want to go ahead and jump right back to the Seahawks, man, you know, Earl Thomas, he was getting interviewed. You know, he signed with the Ravens in the offseason. And, you know, Bobby Wagner's like the last remaining guy now out of basically like the Legion of Boom, right? And Earl Thomas, they were asking, you know, how did you feel about putting up that middle finger as you getting carted off? He said, I don't regret it. And, you know, I encourage everybody out there, man, you know what I'm saying? If you you do something that other people feel is rash or whatever, but it's really in your heart, and somebody trying to tell you to apologize for that stuff, just be like, nah, I meant that, man. Hey, we got one more team to get to, and it's the Los Angeles Rams. They actually played in the Super Bowl last year, so you ain't about to be rushing my Rams. You know, Rams is one of my squads, nigga. So you ain't about to be rushing me with these Rams. You know what the Rams did last year? They came out and represented. So the Rams, you know, again, they went to the NFC Championship last year. They're going to go to the NFC Championship a damn again. Deja vu on that ass. Groundhog's Day. They're going to win at least 11 games. Cooper Kupp is going to have 85 receptions. If you have a problem with that, I mean, stop them. You know what I'm saying? The NFC West is the Rams' division to lose. I think their competition is going to be the Seahawks, but we shall see if anybody's got something for these Rams. It's their division.
All right. And that note, fans, hope you enjoyed this bold prediction show. We will see you guys again next Friday night. Take care, fam. Peace and love.
Right at the buzzer. That was so close.
That was perfect, dude.